For more on this fiscal rite of spring, Renee Montaigne spoke with Mark Everson, Commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If, let's say, I'm not going to get those taxes in by midnight tonight, how much trouble am I in?
Well, you don't have to be in any trouble. You can get an extension just by filing a very simple form. And most people get a refund, so that's not a problem if you're filing your extension. But if you think you're going to owe us some money, just send in a check for what you estimate you're going to have to pay and get that in, and then you're all set. What you shouldn't do, though, is do nothing. You should file for that extension.
For most people, it's no longer a midnight or a pre-midnight run to the post office. I gather that this is the first year that a majority of taxpayers filed electronically.
Electronic filing has increased each year. And that's a good thing because it's more reliable. The post office doesn't lose your return, or we don't make an error transcribing it. It all gets processed faster. Actually, you get your refund in something like half the time, and it's even faster than that if you use direct deposit for your refund, which most people do.
I use direct deposit, but I still like the paper, like signing, feel more comfortable with that. But I have heard that the IRS is considering requiring that all filing be done electronically.
Not for individuals, but we have mandated that large corporations file electronically starting a year from now, so that when they file their returns for 2005 in 2006, they would have to file electronically. We think that's a good thing because the corporate returns are complex, of course. Just takes a long time, and believe it or not, it'll knock over a year off of our audit process by being able to pull up the information electronically.
The IRS reorders its priorities from time to time, or at least that's how it seems. What category of taxpayer is most likely to be audited?
The big change over the last couple of years is to reinvigorate our enforcement activities, which had fallen off. Within enforcement, we have four priorities, and the first is to go after high-income individuals and corporations who are abusing the code. We're also working to strengthen the integrity of tax practitioners where standards eroded. We're increasing our criminal investigations. And the last area, which is very important, is we're working to deter abuses within charities.
Interesting. Why? Have you been finding more abuses, or they just have never been looked at before?
We're seeing that same those same twin cancers of technical manipulation and outright abuse that we saw in the profit-making sector now migrating to some corners of the charitable world. Look at the credit counseling industry. We have half of that under audit right now. Very important because the new bankruptcy law will mandate that people go to credit counselors, but that industry, too many of the players there, they really aren't counseling people anymore. They're just packaging up debts and shipping them off to related party profit-making businesses just to milk the families that are participating. That's not operating for the public good like a charity is supposed to.
Back to individual taxpayers. Are there groups? I mean, we always understand that, say, those who live on tips can be the focus of audits. First, is that true? And are there other groups?
We get the most compliance in our system where there is third-party reporting, wages paid to people. If you work for NPR, we get information from NPR that says how much you were paid. You're less likely to fudge your return on that line because you know that we get that information.
Fudge. There's no room to fudge. It's right there.
That's right. So where the bigger problem comes in, if you have your own business, you're not incorporated, you've got a lawn service and you're doing work for 12 people in your community, your cash is going back and forth, much more of a compliance problem there.
Well, what are the latest estimates as to taxable revenues that the IRS is not able to collect?
We estimate that the tax gap, that's the money that we don't get, is over $250 billion a year, even after the IRS enforcement efforts.
How do you know even that much?
We did detailed audits of 46,000 filers. We also study our information versus census data. And we know, of course, a portion of the tax gap is people who file but then don't pay. So that's a part of the tax gap each year, too.
Mark Everson is the commissioner of the IRS. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
From NPR News, this is Morning Edition. You know, if you learn something new on this program, you can often give thanks, as we do, to the NPR librarians, Alphonse Vinn, Mary Glendenning, Kee Molesky, Denise Chen, Giselle Foss, Maureen Clements, Dan Onstad, Robert Goldstein, Beth Howard, Hannah Summers, and Amy DiCicco. I'm Steve Inskeep with Renee Montaigne.